Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. Today we're going to talk about one of the common procedures that's undertaken in the investigation and treatment of infertility, and that's laparoscopy. Laparoscopy involves the insertion of a telescope through the belly button to look around the pelvis, look at the ovaries, look at the uterus, look at the fallopian tubes and the vicinity of them to look for abnormalities and to confirm that the fallopian tubes are open. Patent fallopian tubes are vital to fertility because the sperm and the egg have to get together. And indeed, fertilisation occurs within the fallopian tube. There are other ways of testing tubal patency using either x-rays and radio-opaque dye or ultrasound, where little spheres that are reflective of ultrasound can be injected through the uterus up through the fallopian tubes to demonstrate that they flow into the abdominal cavity. But the gold standard really is laparoscopy. The advantage of laparoscopy is that it not only enables us to check patency of the tube, but it allows us to look for other issues within the pelvis that may be interfering with infertility. These other factors include infection, endometriosis, or the residual scarring that can be associated with either of these conditions. It also allows us to look at the ovaries, to check pathology, to check for polycystic ovarian syndrome, to check for ovarian cysts. The indications for laparoscopy, therefore, generally are to check your fallopian tube patency in the presence of symptoms that might suggest there might be other issues in the pelvis. The less invasive procedures are probably the first line if there are no such symptoms, although some doctors believe laparoscopy is worthwhile as an initial investigation because in about 15% of couples with no symptoms, there will be evidence of either endometriosis or at least scar tissue. Laparoscopy is performed under a general anaesthetic as a day surgical procedure. Patients will come in the morning and be home in the afternoon. General anaesthesia is required. There are obviously risks associated with the procedure. These include the anaesthetic itself and complications of the procedure, where instruments are inserted through the abdominal wall into the abdominal cavity, and therefore perforation of bowel, bladder, and blood vessels have been reported. The incidence of these complications is probably less than 1 in 500, and in expert hands, probably nearer 1 in 5,000. These complications are increased if there has been previous abdominal surgery like appendectomy or cesarean section. The procedure itself, as I've said, begins with a general anaesthetic. The surgeon makes a tiny incision in the belly button, about a centimetre in size, usually hidden deep within the belly button so it's not obvious in the future. Through that incision, the first part is the insufflation of carbon dioxide into the abdominal cavity, so you blow up to some extent like a balloon. The reason for doing this is that it lifts the abdominal wall away from your organs within your tummy, your bowel and the uterus, the bladder, etc., to enable a good view for the surgeon, also to reduce the risk of damaging those organs. The next stage is to insert the telescope through the abdominal wall to be able to look around. In these days of high-tech photography and high-tech electrical systems, we can minimize the size of the various instruments to get optimal views. Once we're inside and looking around the abdominal cavity, we look for the uterus, look for the fallopian tubes, examine the ends of the fallopian tubes to make sure that they are normal, that those fingers on the end of the tube which gather the eggs up at the time of ovulation are able to function normally. We look at the ovaries, make sure that they're in pristine condition, and then look around behind the uterus, under the ovaries, up to the bladder, looking for spots of endometriosis. Scarring and adhesions can be identified and they can be divided with scissors. If we move on to requiring intervention, like the cutting of adhesions or the burning of endometriosis, further port sites are required, meaning that there will be another one, two or three little holes, 5 millimeter holes in your lower abdominal wall. The instruments that are then inserted and allow us to manipulate the various organs and also to undergo treatment like burning of endometriosis. Once that's been assessed, we then place a catheter into the uterus down below and inject dye in a liquid form, squirting it up through the cervix, through the uterus, and hopefully seeing flowing out into the abdominal cavity through the fallopian tubes. That way we know that the tubes are normal and patent. The surgeon, having completed the procedure, will then remove the instruments, suture, put a little stitch in each of those holes that he's created, and then patient will be awoken and sent back to recovery. Patients after laparoscopy are almost universally in significant discomfort. The procedure involves injuries to the abdominal wall when we put the trocar through to pass the telescope into the tummy, and the other instrumentation can be quite uncomfortable. I say to patients that they feel that I've given them a big kick in the stomach, and it'll take 3 or 4 days for that to gradually settle down, but it will settle down. Good pain relief is necessary, and that generally will be sorted out by the anaesthetist before you go home, and it may be that you'll be taking Panadol or a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory for 4 or 5 days after the procedure. One unusual pain that needs to be warned about before the procedure is that of shoulder tip pain. On the evening after the procedure or the following morning, almost all patients will complain of uncomfortableness or, as I said, severe pain up around the shoulders and the lower neck. This seems bizarre because the operation was done on your tummy, but you're getting pain up in your shoulders. This pain is due to the gas that's been put into your abdominal cavity. It irritates the diaphragm, and the nerves to the diaphragm and the nerves to your shoulder tips come from the same place. So it's called referred pain. That irritation of the diaphragm settles over the first 24 hours and that pain will go away. But if you haven't been warned, it's quite unnerving to have pain in your shoulders when you expect it to be in your tummy. About 70% of women who have a laparoscopy on a Friday will be at work on Monday. Some, however, the discomfort will take more days to settle, particularly if they've had intervention for endometriosis or division of adhesions where irritation of the abdominal cavity lining can persist for some days. The risk of dying from a laparoscopy has been assessed, and it looks to be 1 in 16,000. So it's incredibly rare. And almost all of those deaths relate to either anaesthetic death because of reactions to drugs, or where perforation of an abdominal organ has occurred and not been recognised. But these are incredibly rare and shouldn't put people off having a procedure, provided that it's definitely necessary. So if your doctor says that you need a laparoscopy, ask the right questions, ask for full explanation, and make sure that the operation is really necessary. But it does give the best information on your pelvis when you're trying to get pregnant as you go along that journey towards a baby. And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.